parts.
And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network. What the hell was that? The Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I believe that noise that was out there is one of my partners, Jeremy Broen.
At DFF underscore madman.
Okay. And Shane Manila.
Hi, guys. This is
DFF underscore Shane.
Yeah, or you could also just look up data don't score points.
Yeah, that's right. You changed your name. Well, not your handle, but you changed your name.
Yeah, it's not Shane Says. It's data don't score points.
Yeah.
Shane loves the Twitter trolling.
Yeah, and I think there was the story behind that name, but at this time we're not going to tell it, right?
No, I don't care. The people that, whatever, you can ask me what it's about. I'll tell you. I'm not going to waste showtime on it.
Absolutely. Hey, and listen, we're coming off the most exciting, amazing Super Bowl ever.
We're going to skip right past that. So the one bit of news we do have, though, Zach Taylor and Brian Flores have both been named head coaches. Zach Taylor.
He's from Sapling, the coaching Sapling. Sean McVay.
Of course.
I mentioned on the Off the Rails podcast, my fun thing that I do with other people. Not you guys. You guys have to be on sometime. They said coaching Sapling because he even said himself, he's too young to have a coaching tree.
Well, that's cute. He's too young to have a Super Bowl ring, apparently.
Yeah, but, apparently.
So I was actually, it's funny, I'm working, or actually just finished up an article for Fantasy Pros going over all the head coaching changes.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is massive. It's somewhere north of 400,000 words, I think.
Wow.
That's
probably not right. Yeah, it's probably closer to 10,000 words. But I want to say the breakdown on Zach Taylor consisted of maybe 200 words because there's that little information I could give you on that guy. The best thing I saw about him was the Roto World blurb on him, where it noted that he got to call plays for a month in Miami. And
you just stalled there and then you didn't say anything else.
Oh, wait, I got it. You know what? Because I'm just making sure. Now I'm trying to remember. I want to make sure that was his blurb.
Well, hey, how about the Dolphins, though, with Flores? That's, to me, that should be great. And they said he signed a 5-year guaranteed contract.
Yeah, you know what? That's good for him because he knows, and they're not hiding it. This is a rebuild. They don't have a lot of assets, and they need to build from the ground up. So that's good that they're giving that guy some time to turn that franchise around. It might take them 3 to 4 seasons just to be mediocre.
Yeah, my friend Mike said that to me today, too. He's a huge Miami Dolphins fan, and he said the exact same thing. He said, for the next couple of years, with the rebuilding and with the shit that's going to happen there, that way he doesn't have to take the blame for it and then move on to another coach. I mean, this way he can go through that whole situation and then come out on the other side.
Okay, here you go. So, I'm sorry, real quick.
Cut. Be successful in a shorter time frame, but yeah, you have to give a coach longer than 2-3 years.
Well, they
especially
said that-
when you know it's a teardown situation, like you don't have a quarterback, you don't even. I mean, you looking at the contracts, you might have to keep Ryan Tannehill or you might keep him for a bridge, but he's clearly not the quarterback of the future there. So you don't really have the wide receivers. I love Kenyon Drake, and I think he could have a good season. But outside of that I don't particularly like Devontae Parker. I like, Gesicki, but they just don't have any weapons really outside of two players on offense.
It's funny. Schefter said that Flores was the only one of the new coaches that signed a 5-year guaranteed deal. The other ones,
good on him and good on his agent, man.
Yeah. The other ones all had 4 years with the option, but he was the only one that signed a 5.
Good. I think it bodes well for fantasy too, just being that they brought that coach in. But I think they have more assets than Shane just led on with Gesicki, Drake, Bellage. I think they have more of a core than a lot of teams have had when they've changed coaches. They have a lot of work to do as well, but I think there's a pretty good foundation in place. I'm actually excited for buying some of those offensive weapons now.
Well, yeah. Everything I have read, though, they have said that they're moving on from Tannehill. So I know that you mentioned Shane, but he's supposedly going to be out the door.
Gone.
Yeah, that's fine. But just so real quick, Zach Taylor to the Bengals, the Roto World blurb noted that he has 1 month of play calling experience back when he was in Miami.
1 month.
and his hiring was a leap of faith. And he basically Sean McVay got him his job. What's funny too is that the ownership down there, I forget the name. Mike Brown. That's the guy's name, right?
Yeah, sure.
Mike Brown. He's basically his whole quote.
Make more money on parking and everything around the city that he's never really cared about how well the team does because he makes money no matter how they play.
But basically his quote, just to paraphrase it, was, this guy's young. So like that was basically, it was, he's young and he'll embrace innovation like only young people can.
Nice.
It's ridiculous.
Well, like we
talked about. Whatever. Good job, Bengals.
Arvin Lewis, thank God.
Yeah, and
like there is that, yes.
And like we talked about last week, there's people that are trying to just fit people into slots just based on those kind of qualifications, regardless of whether it's right or wrong. But we'll see. There's a lot of them coming up. So
Sean McVay qualifications.
Yeah, exactly. We do have a great.
Do you know or have you seen Sean McVay? Yes. No, you too could be a candidate.
Hey, I thought you said you didn't want to talk about this weekend. We'll talk about it with our guest. We have an awesome guest tonight. We have Clutch Fantasy. We have Jacob Rick Road. I almost said Rick Rude again. Yeah.
Rick Road.
Yeah.
Jacob Rick Road.
The Ravishing Clutch. Rick Rude, for those of you who listen to wrestling.
At Clutch Fantasy, one of the best writers out there and one of the best Twitter followers out there.
Absolutely. And he's waiting to come on right now. So before we get to him, let's hear from gtbets.eu.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. gtbets.eu, it's game time.
Yeah, so I lost money because I bet on the Rams because I hate the Patriots and you can't, root for evil. So, whatever.
You really can't? I think there are some people that do.
I was happier losing money on the Rams than I would have been winning money on the Patriots.
I hear you.
Yeah, but that's not true because I would have gladly taken the Patriots money.
Well, actually, it's pretty funny. Now that we're back, we are here with our guest, the at Clutch Fantasy. We have the Ravishing Jacob Rick Road. Sorry, I had to do that because of the Rick Rude. How you doing, Jacob?
Good. How's it going, guys? Really stoked to be talking to you.
Awesome. Hey, how did you feel about the Super Bowl?
I was really disappointed.
I mean
we could do a whole segment on what McVay did wrong and what Wade Phillips did right. I mean he did an unbelievable job, I thought. The fact that Tom Brady can win with a slot receiver is just something else. So
and nothing else. Yeah, I mean that was the entire offensive game plan. I think it was funny when they ran the same play what was it, four times in a row, and it worked every time.
They just didn't have an answer for him. And when you, I don't know if you guys saw, Graham Barfield tweeted out how many routes per game Gurley was running from weeks 1 to 14. He was doing like 30 routes a game. And then in the playoffs, he was averaging like 15. So why they didn't throw to Gurley or Anderson when, the week before, Damian Williams tore up that defense. I mean, that was the way you beat them, is you throw it to those running backs and you got one of the best in the game in Todd Gurley, even as a pass catcher. So I don't know. It was just bizarre the way it went down.
Yeah, and then today McVay said, you know, Gurley said Sunday nothing's wrong with his knee, which I just blew off. And then today McVay says nothing's wrong with his knee. We don't think he needs surgery. So that means it was just poor coaching. I could at least understand if it was injury, but just not to use Todd Gurley is mind-boggling. Yeah,
something's got to be wrong with him going back to the game before that. It doesn't add up. I know they were using Gurley and C.J. Anderson a bit differently. Like, the offense looked different. The pass protections, different things were just different for the backs. But there's no way there's nothing wrong with Gurley. I mean, unless he's just worn out, dead tired. I mean, come on. There's no way that C.J. Anderson is better than Todd Gurley.
It's funny, too. Twitter's all about, move Gurley now. Get out from under him. Move him. And I sent offers out in the couple leagues that I don't have him. I mean, like, probably three. And I couldn't get him.
Michael, let's qualify that.
What?
It's just stupid Dynasty Twitter saying to move Todd Gurley right now.
Absolutely.
The other 40 to 45% of Twitter's like, yeah, please do. I'll take him off your hands.
Right.
Yeah.
James, the trend.
And to me, I guess it was implied that it was stupid. But regardless, we've kind of got off track here already.
You're stupid.
Shut up. So that's all right. Hey, so Jake, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. So I've been doing fantasy for 20 years. Been playing since 98, which totally ages me. But I got into high stakes in 2003. Fantasy, it really forces you to change your process and get a new one. And it's kind of shaped the way I play. And I started writing articles, I think in 2013 or 14 for RotoViz. Did a bunch there. And then I was lucky to have a couple published on RotoWorld. But came up with this little dynasty theory, I guess you will, just based on the trends that I've seen since 98. I mean, the one biggest trend is being to dominate those top spots. And then I got into dynasty and I'm seeing people jump off the cliff from players because of age, which didn't make a lot of sense to me. So I guess you could say I started writing to call bullshit on the dynasty community and nice. And just find different ways to win. Based on the hype and you know what you're seeing out there on Twitter.
Well, I do want to mention one thing for people that are listening. Jake, you say you're in Las Vegas right now for a convention, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's why every once in a while you'll hear some drops. He's talking to us on his phone. Thanks for being with us on your phone. We had a little bit of connectivity problem before, but I know there was a little bit of drop just now when you were just talking, so we'll try to push through and get everything going. So, Shane, I thought you were just about to say something.
I was just staring off in the distance. I thought you were going to actually just fill in whatever word we didn't hear from Jake. I thought you were just going to fill in like, and what he said was.
Yeah. Or when I go to edit it, Jake, there'll be your sentence. And then whatever word's missing, it'll be my voice saying the word. No, no, we'll do the best that we can here. So, But one of the things everybody's happy about now that the Super Bowl is over, now everybody's talking about rookies and talking about draft picks and talking about all that. So I know you posted something today about the wide receivers, the rookie wide receivers, and how they go on the next year and the next year and the next year. Do you want to tell people about that?
Yeah, it's one of the trends I found that may not be realized by the Dynasty community is how few rookies actually perform their rookie years. And when I say perform, I'm saying top 24, which in general is consistent play for the whole year. There's only been 19 rookie wide receivers to finish top 24 PPR. I'm only speaking in PPR. I don't play any standard. I think standard is shit, but that's a whole other conversation.
That's correct.
So going back to 2000, most of my research starts in the year 2000. There's only been 19 to hit top 24. So you're saying one per year. And I think to a lot of dynasty players put too much faith in rookies thinking that, you know, they're going to explode right out of gates. And just historically, it's not always the case. I mean, there's Odell Beckham's in there with a monster year. There's some big years in there. But for the most part, the rookie wide receivers don't hit. And when you switch over to running backs, it's a little bit better. There's been 43 to hit since 2000. So, you know, call it two plus a year. And we just saw a year where three or four of them hit. Chubb, Barkley, Philip Lindsay, and I'm missing, there's one more. I'm out, guys. There's one other
All right, say any rookie name. Michelle, probably.
Yeah, Michelle
came in and like.
Let me look it up.
And most people think that Darius Geis will hit, even though he hasn't played yet.
Yeah, I don't think that counts though, in Jake's. I'm just saying. I don't think he can count.
Not as a rookie season, but yeah.
No, I know. I know, but when you were saying just yell out any rookie name.
Sorry.
So a few couple years ago, I decided to really get into this and see what the hit rate of rookies were. So I wrote this article that was published on RotoWorld called Dynasty Hit Rates. And I went back to 2010 and tracked every rookie dynasty draft and then, considered a hit if that player hit top 12. And then looked at like what it looked like at the end of it all. And the first round of rookie drafts is 50%. Which sounds pretty good, but that includes a lot of one-hit wonders like Trent Richardson and C.J. Spiller and Kendall Wright and Fleener had a year in there where he hit. So the Dynasty rookie first round, one out of three of first round Dynasty picks hit, or basically four out of 12, and that's having two or more seasons in the top 24. And you got guys obviously have more than that. I mean, Mike Evans has never missed the top 24. AJ Green, I don't want to downplay it. There are some true studs in that grouping of hits, but there's also a lot of duds. I mean, and we've seen it recently. I mean, the class of the 2016 class was just like a dumpster fire, past Ezekiel Elliott. You got Corey Coleman and Laquon Treadwell and Josh Dotson. I get Derrick Henry hit this year. He finished in the top 20, but he's been mostly and then when you look at the second round, the hit rate's even worse. It gets 30% hit rate in the second round. And that includes guys that take sometimes years. Going back, I looked at 2010, Golden Tate, who's an absolute dynasty stud right now, he didn't hit till like his fourth year. Yeah. So you had to wait a long time for him to develop. And it's another consistent theme that you see with especially wide receivers. Like there's some stud wide receivers that didn't really break out until year three. And you might've been able to find those guys up the waiver wire or be able to trade for nothing. I mean, Tyler Boyd is a perfect example, a guy that blew up this year and was probably left for dead in a lot of leagues. So, or how about Robert Woods? 6 years we've been waiting for that guy to hit. Six.
Yeah. Robert Woods is a great example, I think, and he's still relatively cheap because the stink of his Buffalo days isn't completely washed off of him, and people think the last 2 years might have been a fluke. But yeah, it took for him forever to hit. And I don't even know if you could actually call him a hit at this point, because if you drafted him 6 years ago or however many years ago, there's no way you held him that whole time until you finally got some value out of him.
That's always the funny thing, too, when people talk about, oh, I'm going to draft this guy and I'm going to have him for the next 10 years. And it doesn't usually happen. Yeah. People don't.
It takes 3 years for him to hit. But that's the thing. We're talking about guys that you can't give up early on. You have to know who those guys are. I mean, giving up early on Kevin White is okay, but not giving up on Tyler Boyd and Robert Woods. And so how do you know? Because we've all given up on players. And I know we've talked a lot also on this show about not giving up on wide receivers too early. But for everyone that we've given up on, or for everyone that's successful, there's, another five that have not been successful.
Yeah. Jake, what are your thoughts on this draft class, compared to some of these past draft classes? Do you have any thoughts or do you have any good feelings about any of these kids?
Well, let's come back to that in a second. I got another stat for you. So
absolutely.
One of my all-time favorite trends that I found is with the top 24 wide receivers specifically, I went back to 2005 and tracked this and looked at the top 24 and counted how many wide receiver twos made the top 24. So basically a team had two wide receivers in the top 24. How many times did that happen? You guys want to guess at how many times that happens average per year?
Average. I'm going to go with once.
Try four times a year, almost like clockwork. There's four teams with two wide receivers in the top 24. Four. So what that means is that that's a dozen that teams that didn't even have one top 24 wide receiver.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? And so look at that stat. And so when you're projecting like you almost need to project, you know, four teams to have two top 24 receivers. And then I connected that with quarterbacks, like which quarterbacks are the most likely to support two. And so when I'm looking at prospects, and will they hit or not, like one of the things I look at is, are they going to a team with a quarterback that could support more than one? Are they in a position to get enough targets to be a top 24? So one of the other stats I found is it's about 110 to 120 targets is the average you need to hit top 24. Unless you have like a ton of touchdowns, obviously, right? I mean, we just saw that with right. Calvin Ridley. He had a ton of touchdowns,
yeah.
And that put him in. He didn't have the targets, but it boosted him in. But he also was with a quarterback who's had 3 years prior with two top 24 receivers, and that's Matt Ryan. So 2018 had five teams with two top 24 wide receivers. Atlanta did it, Julio and Calvin. And then mm-hmm. Ben had two top 10 with Juju yeah. and AB. I'm putting an asterisk by Jameis Winston because he shared this with Fitzpatrick. But Tampa Bay had two in the top 24. I know this is hard to believe, but our boy Humphreys was the 24th best wide receiver.
What? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And they had three in the top 26 because Chris Godwin came in at 26.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's
which is hard. It's hard to believe, but they threw for 5,000 yards when you add up the passing yards.
Well, I have a follow-up question to that. You said quarterbacks, and that makes sense. You're linking the wide receivers to the quarterback. So is it really we're talking about the offensive schemes that these teams are running. Like, obviously, the Rams can support more than one or two receivers in the top 24, maybe even three if Kupp doesn't get hurt. So is it – I mean, those are tied right closely, the quarterback and the offense that's being run. I'm just – being simple.
Yeah. So, you know, touchdowns help, obviously, and passing attempts helps too. So Stafford is actually of the active quarterbacks. He's got three seasons of two top 24 wide receivers. And that makes sense because the dude throws it a boatload, you know,
love
over his career. Yeah. So, but going back to 2018, Kirk Cousins had two, mm-hmm. of course, and then Jared Goff had two. So yeah. There was five teams with two top 24 wide receivers, which means 13 teams didn't have top 24. And it actually gets worse because Philly had two in the top 30. Neither of them made the top 24. And the Giants had two in the top 30 as well. And everybody says Eli Manning sucks, but Eli Manning has been supporting top 12 receivers for a decade plus. He actually has more top 24 or top 12 wide receivers than Brady or Breeze, which is crazy.
Well, just not to disagree with too much, but I hate Eli Manning, and I'm going to chalk that up to the wide receivers being good. And I actually think he has been holding Beckham back, but he's had some really good receivers during his time in New York.
Had Plaxico Burress, you know, Burress yeah. had like several good years, but he had, remember Steve Smith, the other Steve Smith?
Yes. Not good Steve Smith. Yes. Yes.
He was number eight 1 year. And then he had Hakeem Nicks a couple years in there that was top 10. And then Victor Cruz came out of nowhere and posted some monster season. Victor Cruz had an Odell Beckham season before Odell showed up. Remember that year when he had
Odell, you could make the argument that Eli Manning made some of those wide receivers. And that's a story.
That's my case. So say what you want about Eli. He locks onto these guys, peppers them with targets. You look at Odell. Odell's had more targets per game than any other receiver besides Antonio Brown. The dude's averaging 10 plus. And that's consistent with Eli's whole career. He did that with Plaxico Burress too. And he was doing that with Cruz and Nicks. So yes, there's like a baseline for quarterbacks, like where they got to be like Jay Cutler level to support top 24 wide receiver. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's a great example. He had two top 24 in 2015. Yeah, he had Decker and Marshall, two studs, obviously, with a huge history of posting top 24. But when he was in Buffalo, Stevie Johnson had three top 24 years.
Yeah, Stevie Johnson.
So when you're looking at these prospects, and look, if you could predict the four teams that are going to have two top 24 wide receivers, you could make a lot of money.
Well, it's funny too. I guess you kind of shattered a lot of these these preconceptions that everybody has that when a player gets drafted to a team where they already have a wide receiver one, they're like, oh, I don't want this guy because there's already somebody there. So with those kind of stats, it shows that you can get some of those guys. You may not know exactly which team it's going to be, but if the player is good enough, I mean, even like Shane, I know he goes back on it, but you liked James Washington. And then I know, but what I'm saying is, and then he was drafted by the Steelers. Everybody's like, oh, that's going to suck. And now AB may be leaving and then he's going to be the number two guy there. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, but just real quick on James Washington, if you could have predicted that AB would absolutely lose his mind this year, then no. You shouldn't be playing dynasty football. You should be playing the lottery.
Well, of course, great draft
pick. I get what you're saying.
Of course, but it's a team that could...
You have to draft players based on the talent that they possess, that you believe they have, and rank them and not worry about where they go. And
exactly.
I think Jacob's research has really, and what Mike just said, it really demonstrates that's the case, with especially because it takes longer for them to develop in the first place.
Yeah.
And you have bench spots.
But so. I can pick the one spot if a wide receiver gets drafted in the first two rounds. It's going to be a top 24 wide receiver. That'll be Indianapolis. It would be T.Y. Whoever it is, Hakeem Butler.
All right. Well, so then, Jake, would you like to go back to the previous question then? What are your thoughts with this draft class after talking about what you're predicting that could happen with the quarterbacks and the wide receivers?
So I'm going to cop out on this because we have no idea what the landing spots are going to be.
Right.
Yeah,
And everybody, you know, I see people go nuts over some of these prospects. So one of the things that I lean heavily on some of the RotoViz work and the Phenom Index. Are you familiar with the Phenom Index?
Yes.
So John Moore did it, and it's Dominator rating and breakout age. I've found that was tremendous when trying to find wide receivers. So I look at breakout age and, you know, market share of targets and pass, you know, how much yardage they're getting in college. And those are my highest guys. So DJ Moore, I traded for DJ Moore midseason when he hadn't really done much just because of his Phenom Index. And I think that he had all those skills and talent that line up. His Phenom Index was off the charts in this draft class, more so than like Courtland Sutton, some of the other guy rookie wide receivers that did well. Like Michael Gallup's wasn't that great. Kiki Kuti had an awesome Phenom Index, and he flashed, man, in a big way. I think Kiki could be a solid contributor in the future. So I will be looking at the Phenom Index when that comes out by John Moore. You guys know John Moore, who worked for Pro Football Focus for a while.
Yeah,
puts that out. Well, so that'll be like my number one tool. You know, Sean Siegel, who's the owner, the pioneer of zero running back. He's made some unbelievable calls. He was all over Stephon Diggs before anybody was. And Tyler Boyd, too.
I've been on him, too. Wasn't exactly all the metrics. It was just as a player. But, yeah, he snuck up on a lot of people that forgot he was such a highly recruited player and had those metrics.
Yeah, and I'm not a big college film guy. Like, I don't watch college football that much. So I really wait to see landing spots and then kind of line them up. Like, are they in a spot where they're going to get a ton of targets? Look, I think Corey Davis is a phenomenal player, very talented, but he's just not getting the volume to get him there yet. He doesn't have, you know, and I think he'll get there. He's actually a guy that I was buying last year because I think at some point he's going to hit. But I also took a shot at Devontae Parker in a couple of spots because I thought last year lined up for him to get a boatload of targets because the research shows when you hit that 120 plus targets, your odds of getting top 24 are pretty high.
And the research also shows if you get away from Adam Gase, you have a much better chance of success.
Yeah. Right. No doubt. And we'll find out what happens. But going back to this whole wide receiver thing. So I tracked all these receivers back to 2000 and I lined up all the ones with three or more top 24 seasons. And there's about just under 70 now, but from 2000, which is really a small number when you think about how many receivers come out. So there's 70 guys. And then I did the math further to find out how many top 24 seasons they were responsible for. 77% of the top 24 seasons came from those 70 receivers. And 85% of the top 12 years came from the same group of receivers. And about half of them, so call it 30 of the wide receivers, they have three or more top 12 seasons. And then you got studs in there, obviously, like Marvin Harrison that had, you know, six or seven top 12 years. And, you know, of course, Julio's up there. So I look at that information, and I use that to buy players that are maybe undervalued. And I took that research a step further and looked at age and lined up all those guys with the top three top 24 years and looked at what they did post 30, and 50 of them that were playing after 30 had at least 1 year in the top 24. And 15 of the 50 had multiple top 12 seasons after the age of 30. Yeah. So like an AB just did it.
Yeah.
Top five. And this has been an awesome tool for me over the years, because I picked up guys, I was still drafting and holding on to Larry Fitzgerald, you know, when he was, he was top 10. Right. So if those look, they all fall apart at some point, but the old elite players are the outliers. And so if you're going to bet on an old guy, bet on one of those. So when the dynasty community is jumping ship on Brandon Marshall coming off a 7-game season in Chicago, and then he goes to the Jets and he finishes top three, you are going to win some serious coin, because it's so hard to get those high scoring players. You know, there's only so many top spots out there. And so owning one of those top guys is just massive for your potential to make the playoffs and win a championship.
So for the people that are getting ready to do startup drafts in the next month, or now that MFL flipped over tonight, you know, people will start doing some more trades this week. Are there any of those wide receivers that you would like to share with us that we may not be looking at, but you might know from your data?
I love AJ Green. I think AJ Green could easily have a top 5 to 10 year at age 31. He's going to be 31. Here's kind of a cool stat that most people don't know. Antonio Brown, AJ Green, Julio Jones, Dez Bryant are within like 6-7 months of each other of age. They're all really close. Yeah. Julio, technically this was his age 29 season, but he just turned 30. So he's right behind him. And I obviously everybody's buying Julio. So Jordy Nelson was coming off an injured season at age 31. And I bought him everywhere. And he had a wide receiver 2 overall season at 31 years old, when a lot of the dynasty community was just bailing on him. You know, I said it doesn't happen all the time. You know, Demaryius Thomas just fell off, but Emmanuel Sanders is 31 years old this year, and he had a top 24 season. And we saw Edelman do it at age 32. Hmm. He's a wide receiver 22. And that goes back to New England and their slot receivers. Like if you go back to Wes Welker years, like New England literally hasn't missed a top 20, top 24 spot for like 12 years. I think they missed like 1 or 2 years in there. It's pretty amazing. So chasing offenses is big, obviously, quarterback and play caller when it comes to a stat.
Exactly why I'd rather get caught holding the bag and keeping guys like that I like AJ Green and Julio Jones for too long, and Larry Fitzgerald, because I did that too, holding them too long, a season too long, then trading them for what amounts to nothing or a lottery ticket, and enjoy those points and just keep them too long, because I feel like the trade-off isn't that big of a deal, especially if you're a contending team or a team that's, you know, even on the fringe of the playoffs. You know, you don't give up on those guys for a possibility, a lottery ticket, unless you're getting something in return. May as well just ride them into the sunset. That's what I always say.
Well, besides AJ Green, who else were you going to recommend?
I'm trying to think of another guy that's up there. That's
probably
in that.
Demaryius
Thomas and Edelman on your list at the top there. Antonio Brown, AJ Green, Emmanuel Sanders, you know, from the previous year, those guys are all still playing.
Well, yeah, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, not with the Achilles, he's probably toast. Yeah, but Edelman, assuming he goes back to New England, there's no reason that he can't be a top 24 wide receiver.
Right.
Again. Yep. And the cost for these guys is the other thing. Not AJ Green so much. You're giving up at least a rookie early first, I would assume, for him. I'm not shopping for him.
And not just cares, but Fitzgerald, you know, says he's coming back for one more. So there are a lot of guys.
Yeah, and you can get them, like those guys, really cheap, especially rookie draft season. I guarantee you'll be able to get Edelman for a second round pick, an early second rounder.
Well, that was the point.
You know, I was going to say, Adam Thielen's getting up there. What is he? I think he turns 29 this year.
Yeah, because I started hearing those whispers on him, people talking about he's getting old.
I'm not afraid of him at all. I got no issues taking him, because I think he'll be solid until 32, 33. And especially as a slot receiver, we've seen with Larry Fitzgerald, those guys can play late in their career. You know, Bolden was another guy that played well into his mid-30s. Yeah. And this is recent. Steve Smith had a top 20 year at age 35. You know, you could have got him for a song at that mm-hmm. one point.
And people overreact, don't they? I mean, AJ Green still looks younger than Breshad Perriman, and I'm pretty sure they're pretty far apart in age, at least 5-6 years.
Well, if you're doing a startup, you don't draft a whole team of old guys, but you can use it to balance them out. So you take AJ Green, I don't know where he's going to go, maybe the third or fourth round, knowing that he's probably only got a couple years, and then balance the rest of your team out. So you have younger guys that you're harvesting to replace these older guys when they go, you know? When I do startup drafts, I don't draft rookies. I go zero rookie in my startup drafts, meaning I do not touch rookies in the first couple of rounds because when they crash and burn, they crash so hard. I mean, I was laughing as people drafting Corey Coleman and Laquan Treadmill in the third round, and I'm taking T.Y. Hilton, you know? Yeah. It just look, and I'm going to miss on some of them, you know, but Cooper went in the second round as a rookie, and he's obviously a good pick. And I didn't draft any Christian McCaffrey in startup drafts or Barkley. I actually didn't do any startups last year, but I would have passed on Barkley too. And I loved Barkley, just because it's just when you miss on an early pick in a startup draft, it hurts for a long time.
It's funny with Barkley, though, because Barkley was going like in the first round of startup drafts. So
Barkley was going 101 in multiple drafts I went in, and I may or may not have drafted him at 101.
I was just about to say that you were the one who was drafting him at 101. Yeah,
I wasn't. Exactly. No. I wasn't the only one. Someone broke that dam first in a league I was in, and I said, all right, well, all bets are off. It's happening.
But there's always an outlier.
ADP on MFL, weren't you?
Yep.
And there's always an outlier like that, you know, that it is the easy choice to make that looks like he will hit.
They see the outliers and they don't realize that for every Barkley, there's like a dozen Trent Richardsons and CJ Spillers. And I mean, even Doug Martin has been pretty hit or miss.
Yeah.
And when you look at his career, Eddie Lacy had two top 10 years, but I think most people would regret taking him, you know, at some point because he was a first round pick in one of my startups for sure.
Oh, I took him in, I remember this, one of my first dynasty leagues was one of Ryan McDowell's hyperactive leagues. And I remember drafting Eddie Lacy and having like that sick, like, oh, I can't believe I'm really doing this in the second round. And I regretted it the entire time I was in that league.
Yeah, or the people that took Bishop Sankey with the 101 in rookie drafts that one year.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, talk about a class. 2014 is going to go down as the best classes ever. And when you look at it, Bishop Sankey's like one of the only guys that missed.
Yeah.
I mean, even Carlos Hyde hit. He had a top 20 year. Eric Ebron has now finally hit in a big way, right?
Woohoo!
And he was a first round pick. You know, Jordan Matthews had a top 20 year, two in the top 25. Even Kelvin Benjamin, who he was a guy that I didn't want anything to do with because he was like one of those old prospects coming in the league and had a bad breakout year. He still had a top 20 year in his career. So this data counts him as a hit. But looking at that 2014 class, it's just silly, man. Even as you get late, I mean, Jeremy Hill was a stud in there for 3 years. He has three top 24 years as a running back.
Probably the most startling thing I've seen from your work is that he had three top 24 seasons. Jesus.
Hey, the data is really good, obviously. And the joke for me is that Kelvin Benjamin had that season, and it's because really there was no one else to throw to. It was kind of preordained that he would have that year because he was, you know, the receiver. But I mean, the data stands on its own for sure.
Shane,
I mean, see.
Go ahead.
Finish your thought.
What?
Michael, what were you going to say?
I was about to say, Shane actually sent me a trade offer this past month that had Kelvin Benjamin in the trade offer.
I have him on my roster and I can't cut him. It's a 16-man league, or it's a 16-person league. So, you know, what am I going to do? I got to hold the guy.
It was just so much fun to see his name come across and laugh out loud.
I think you're giving up too early on Kelvin Benjamin, Shane.
Well, the problem is like Jacob alluded to, or actually flat out stated, he was an old prospect. So he's actually 33 years old now. And he's only been in the league 4 years. So
yeah.
Disconcerting.
But going to the opposite of these guys that do it for a long time, basically if a guy hits top 24 twice, he's really likely to keep going. But there's a bunch of guys that are one and done. And, you know, going back to 2000, about two to three per year will have a one and done year. You guys mentioned Tyrell Williams earlier. Sure. He might be one of those guys. Terrell Pryor, you know, had a top 24 year. But more recently, Marvin Jones, right? Top 12 year.
Yeah.
I was all over Marvin Jones in best ball in 2017 because he was the number two wide receiver with Matt Stafford. And that paid off huge.
Yes.
So, you know, finding those guys, you know, Robbie Anderson was number 18. Who we'll see if he hits it. I mean, he actually flashed nicely at the end of this year, so he could do it again. Nelson Aguilar is a one and done more recently. And then some big names in here. Are you ready for this? Sammy Watkins has only had one top 24 year. that's a guy that if you can buy him cheap, he looks like a guy that'll hit again at some point in his career.
Yeah. With the Sammy Watkins thing. And I do this sometimes. So I wrote an article about how I've basically given up on him. And then too many people agreed with me. And so many people agreed with me that now, I want to go buy him. It's weird.
It's funny, too, because you said that last week on the show, Shane. And I actually went out and sent offers in a couple different leagues for him. And I got him. I got him off of two teams last week.
Here's the thing. If you can get him if we're talking about like a start one quarterback league, but if you can get him for anything like 107 and below, like that's an easy buy because the upside, you've seen his upside, which is a top 10 receiver. As opposed to a back end of the first round rookie that really the hit rate, like Jacob was already discussing, the hit rate isn't actually as good as you probably perceive it to be. Although I know everyone thinks they're better drafters than everyone else.
Yeah, I actually traded a Devy player and a second round pick in a Devy draft for Sammy Watkins. And I was happy for that. It was a freshman Devy player too.
Jesus Christ. Idiot.
So, I mean, think about it with that offense, he could post wide receiver two numbers next year. I mean, if Mahomes keeps going and really he's only a Tyreek Hill injury away from getting all that work. I mean, that offense, it's surprising they didn't have more besides just Tyreek Hill and Kelce, to be honest, because of how many touchdowns. Because when you look at Peyton Manning's big years, you know, he had three top 20 receivers. In 2013 and in 2004, Brandon Stokley was a wide receiver 16 behind Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison. And
well, if Mahomes does this,
good.
Do you think? And I didn't mean to cut you off there. I probably should let you finish your sentence, but it's tough to hear sometimes on my phone. I want to, you know, when Mahomes settles down and becomes more of a veteran quarterback with greater presence and more feel for the offense and doesn't need to rely on just making these crazy plays all the time, becomes more efficient and effective, I guess is what I'm saying. As a lead quarterback for that team, I mean, what do you think he's going to spread the ball more, that there's going to be a little more love in these big, I mean, still have the big chunk plays, but that more receivers are going to get involved than maybe the top two, three guys. Does that stand to reason or not?
No, it definitely does. And the number one, you guys knew the quarterback with the most two top 24 wide receivers, the one that supported two the most. Any guesses?
Wait, I'm going to say Matt Ryan because you brought him up earlier.
Yeah.
Probably not right.
No, it's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has six seasons. So, like, I was all over Randall Cobb and Geronimo this year because I figured one of those guys would kind of sneak in behind Adams. And it didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean,
here's for Rodgers.
If Geronimo had been healthy, I think there would have been a shot for that. But he was injured, and you know.
Yeah, and Cobb was injured. It was just a mess. But if you look at Rodgers' career, how many 40-yard or 40-touchdown seasons has he had? He's had several, and those are the years where you're going to get two top 24. Same with Peyton Manning. He's the most as well. He's tied with Rodgers with six seasons of two top 24 wide receivers, and those years when they hit 50 touchdowns are just lights out, you know? And so Mahomes is so young. If we're going to bet 1 year he breaks the touchdown record, which I think is a safe bet, considering how young he is, he's going to have a couple years in there. And somebody off the radar might sneak in there, you know? It may be a Chris Conley type guy that ends up being, you know, a thousand years. You know what I'm saying? So you want to buy guys in those offices.
No, Shane's thinking, he's hoping it's Sammy Watkins.
No, well, the thing is, if Sammy actually plays a full season, or, you know, not even a full season, if he can get, you know, 12 to 14 games out of Sammy Watkins, I think he'd break the touchdown record. And I think Watkins actually still has wide receiver one upside in that offense.
I totally agree. In fact, I would trade a second tomorrow, right now, for Sammy Watkins without hesitating. And if I had a first and I needed, he would be a no-brainer pick to me, because we know the talent's there. He's actually had two top 30 years. When he was in Buffalo, they didn't even throw it to him.
No.
That's one reason I did not like him coming in, was because he was in that offense with Rex Ryan. And I was like, why would you take him over Mike Evans in that offense, where you know he's going to get a ton of targets and he can score touchdowns? And so I hated on Watkins big time in those early years. He was a first round pick in Dynasty Stardust for a long time. Well,
and Buffalo's not fair. We saw what that did to Robert Woods, and there's a whole series of jokes about, you know, the Buffalo. I mean, it's where receivers go to die. And Watkins, I really want to see that guy. And I don't care who owns him. I just want to see him succeed, because he had everything that you need to succeed at wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, and Jake, in my main league, I took him at the 102 that year in that rookie draft. Right behind the guy who took Evans. Bishop Sankey, which was awesome. Well, I got Evans and Watkins out of that rookie draft, so I was happy with that. But
that poor guy got Bishop Sankey.
And that guy got Bishop Sankey. It was awesome.
Yeah, that is like having the 102 in Ezekiel's draft. like, that's just that kind of luck right there, man.
It was a great draft.
So let me give you a couple more that are kind of one and done maybes that may end up that I think that will come back. Allen Robinson's a guy I think at some point.
Yeah, Shane is very happy about Allen Robinson.
Yeah, no, I'm a big Allen Robinson guy.
There's some big offenders in this one and done list, and Josh Gordon is one of those. You go back. Sidney Rice was a guy that hit. And never did anything again. Roy Williams, you guys remember Roy Williams?
Yes,
absolutely.
He totally burned me following his big year. What's the guy? Braylon Edwards had a top.
Braylon Edwards,
remember
him? Yeah.
Wow. For players that did it and then never came back. So finding out who those guys are. In Braylon Edwards' defense, he went and played with Rex Ryan, and I think that killed him, because Rex just didn't throw it enough. So avoiding offenses where they're just not going to throw it 110, 120, or they don't have a quarterback. I always hate on Seattle because they don't throw it enough. Like, why the hell they didn't throw it to Lockett 8 to 10 times a game is beyond me. I mean, every time he scored a touchdown. And I mean, Baldwin's going to be here. It's criminal, right?
Yeah.
And so, we know Wilson, we know Russ can throw it too. It's a shame he seems restrained at times, like on a leash.
Oh, you guys know he was 32nd in pass attempts. Yeah. Russell Wilson was 30. I mean, that alone should be a fireable offense. I'm sorry.
You
have one of the best guys in the quarterbacks in the league, and you're 32nd? It's a joke.
Yeah, some things, it just feels like sometimes coaches, especially the ones that probably aren't that smart, want to show everyone how smart they are.
You look at Russell Wilson and the wide receivers that have the low volume of targets, he shows up there regularly with Doug Baldwin. I was actually buying Lockett heavy because I thought he was going to go somewhere else, kind of like Golden Tate. Golden Tate was great in Seattle. They just didn't throw it to him. And then he goes to Detroit and has a great career. I thought Lockett would have the same path, and I was kind of pissed when they signed him to that extension right before the season. But it also tipped you off that Doug Baldwin was a mess. And, you know, anybody that drafted Lockett this year, you know, did really well because he was a great flex. So, again, chasing those quarterbacks that can consistently support top 24 wide receivers. And then wide receivers like Jarvis Landry, dude, just everywhere he goes, he's top 20 receiver. You know, even this year on less targets, he still got there. And I think with Baker in Cleveland, Landry's probably going to be solid. They didn't throw to him at the end of the year when they had a new offensive coordinator. I mean, he was getting ridiculous targets when what's his name?
Todd Haley was there.
Todd Haley. And then it just changed. But I think that offense is going to morph over the years as Mayfield gets older and better. Because quarterbacks, they get better with age, man. I mean, look at Matt Ryan. Dude, Ben Roethlisberger was terrible early in his career, and then around age 30, he just started to get better and better to where he is now. I mean, he was lights out last year. I mean, the fact that that team didn't make the playoffs is another criminal coaching thing, but that's a different show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, there's quite a few people that are upset about that. So, thank you very much for coming on. You know, it's been great, even though it was a little difficult to hear you at some times. And we really appreciate that you take your time while you're at your convention. Now, for your report, it says here that you have updates throughout the off season. Is that what's going on for people that read it?
I mentioned that big Dynasty hit rates article. I'm updating that. I'm hoping to have it published in the next couple of months. I'll definitely have it published before, you know, all the Dynasty rookie drafts happen in May, because it would be awesome if it went back to Roto World and people could get it for free. Because I just think there's some pretty interesting information there that people can use to their advantage, and, you know, maybe trade second round, third round picks, which the data shows are kind of crapshoots for solid players.
Absolutely. That'd be awesome.
Well, yeah. And that's one thing we definitely advocate on this show is selling off anything after the second round and later. Just trade that pick, because you might as well just throw a dart in the air. If you can get something that you know is going to, you know, a player that's going to produce for that, go for it.
I see teams like just stockpile these fourth, fifth round picks, and those are just garbage throwaway picks. I mean, don't get me wrong. Every now and then one will hit. Like, I mean, T.Y. Hilton was like a fourth round pick that year, you know, but for the most part, they don't even make NFL rosters, let alone fantasy relevant. So, you know, yeah, take shots. I'm not saying don't take shots. You take shots, but just, you know, have low expectations.
Right. Pick your guys, have low expectations. Hilton is an interesting case. That's before I even started looking at metrics at all. I was just going off of film when I went after him that year, and I got him in a bunch of leagues, and it worked out. I mean, it's just dumb luck, I guess, because I liked him, but it worked out even better with Stephon Diggs. But no, it happens. But don't put too much stock in it when there are players in the league that are quite obviously better equipped to help your fantasy team now.
But see, Hilton's a good case study, because he's one of those guys that, for whatever reason, he puts up, you know, season after season, he's a top receiver, but he just has this, I don't want to say stink to him, or just this kind of, like, you know, there's this thing where with certain players where they just don't they're never going to get the respect that they deserve. And Hilton seems to be one of those guys. He just, for whatever reason, people are like, oh, he's
Brandon Cooks is kind of in that same bucket, you know.
Yeah.
Those guys are great assets to have, man. I mean, you don't want them as your number one, but as your 2-3 flex, they're awesome.
Yeah, I was able to grab Hilton halfway through the season this year on one of the teams that I won the league with. It was just a guy, just didn't want him anymore. And it is true. There's a lot of players that have, like you say, the stink or whatever. It's just people think that, and then you can take advantage of that with a trade. So, great. Thanks. Everybody, if you want to follow Jacob, he's at Clutch Fantasy. And is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I really enjoy it. I haven't done a podcast in almost a year.
Yeah, that's just awesome.
I appreciate. I'm just my personal life and job are keeping me pretty busy, and I would love to do this every week, like I was doing a year or two ago. But you know,
so we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week then.
if you guys, I would love to come back on sometime this year. So let me know.
I was just going
to
say that. How about after the NFL draft and, you know, after you've gotten your 2019 updates to your article, we can talk more about, you know, the rookie class.
Definitely.
Sounds
please.
Great, guys. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. Really enjoy chatting.
Awesome. Yeah, man, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, and have fun at your convention.
Yep. Have fun in Vegas, baby.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Yep. Take care. Bye.
All right, yeah, so that was great to have Jake on. And before we wrap up tonight, let's hear from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
So don't forget to hit up the Scouting Academy promo on our site, Dynasty Football Factory, and get and save yourself some money for their next semester. I don't even know what semester we're in, to be honest with you. Because is this the winter? Is this winter? Is that what this is?
I guess. Is that a semester? What is this? It's February. I don't know. Is that considered winter?
Spring? We're in spring. I think it's early autumn. No, man, it's great having Jake on. When I, when I first got into Dynasty Football, like I dove head in, joined too many leagues. I don't even want to get into it. And, basically I'm like, oh, I need to read everything in sight everywhere. And, one of the areas that I wanted to dive into was, analytics. And I remember reading some analytic articles and just going, I don't know what the fuck these people are talking about. Like having literally no idea what I was reading. Now I do, obviously. So I would recommend building up to that, or at least reading the little descriptions of what the phrases mean. Like I'd see like racer. I'm like, what the f-? I don't know what this means. But no, Jake, he's stats and data driven, but he definitely gave it to you in a digestible form in a way that wasn't completely over my head. And I was like, oh, okay. I understand this. And always been one of my favorite writers. He's actually been really cool guy. I've gotten a DM with him just a couple times. We didn't bring it up while he was on, but I actually based an article around, some of his top 24 wide receiver work. I did a series a couple summers ago based off that. Not nearly as good as his work, obviously, but it was still fun. So, I DM'd him, told him, I was like, hey, is this okay? He's like, yeah, man, go for that. And I'm like, sweet. And that was kind of cool.
Happy to invite the show, because that's the one thing I was saying earlier, I don't think we were recording, is that I really like him because he presents the data in a more palatable format that most dynasty players can recognize. I mean, he's taken the things that he's already done the primary research and some of the secondary research for us, and then he presents it in a way that anybody who plays, even redraft, can use. And I think that's great. And he is a great guy. I interact with him a lot. He's one of my favorite metrics people out there, because he doesn't just use jargon that a few nerds understand. I mean, he can really have a conversation with anyone.
But don't call them nerds.
I was going to say nerds.
That's just fucking mean. I didn't call them nerds. There's a lot of people that understand it.
Well, I will say for me,
I wear glasses. So does Michael. We take offense at that nerd.
To kick this off, like completely out of the show.
He called us a nerd.
Yeah.
Nerds.
For me, it worked out great too, because I've been saying it as long as I can remember. I'd much rather have the player that's getting me the points right now than the rookie pick. So I like, even when we tried to bring up the rookie draft, he kind of just went, oh, let's go back to these players. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that was a lot of fun, and he was a great guest to have on. So we want to thank everybody for listening. Go ahead and go check out our Twitter account at Dynasty Trades HQ. Check out our website, dynastyfootballfactory.com. We have a lot of stuff going on. It's the off season now. We got all the podcasts, the Devi Watch is coming out. The articles
love
are coming.
Yeah,
the articles are coming out. Check out iTunes, give us a rate and review. Hey, what about our Patreon, Shane?
Go become a patron, because if you don't, you probably suck. Oh wait, I said it. Stop saying that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is a new year, new me. So you should become a patron, because we have lots of cool stuff going on. We got a GroupMe chat that's as the kids say, hype. I believe the kids say hype. That shit is dope, son.
How about lit? Is it lit?
Lit is kind of passe. So I'm gonna say dope. I'm bringing back dope. Yeah, it's dope. So we got a lot of chat going on there. We just did a sleeper mock draft over the weekend.
Yeah, that was
which
fun.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I wasn't sure if it was a 2 QB league, but that's how I drafted.
He had the 1.01. He had the 1.01, and his first three picks were quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, no, I will say at least one of those quarterbacks was a mistake. I didn't realize it took my one pick. And then anyway, cut that out. So what we want to do is make sure you go to our Patreon page, become a patron. Mr. Brohan there, he set up the tiers. There's more information on there. Go on there. Go give us some money, because we deserve it, because we're awesome. But also, like I said, we got the GroupMe chats, we got mock drafts going on, there's written content, there's the uncensored version of this podcast, and don't forget, we got bonus podcasts, like the one we're about to tape as soon as this one ends.
Absolutely.
So if you're like, holy shit, that is not enough of Sipes, JB, And Shane, I got
to
get
and there's
some
no
more.
Better time to actually get involved with this and become a patron and join us, because we're going to be providing some extra stuff for even the patrons, which involves all kinds of chatter about rookie prospects, maybe some rankings. I don't want to give away too much, but if you're going to become a patron, it's probably the best time of the year this off season. And stay tuned for some updates on what we're going to do going forward.
Actually, today's the best time. This moment, this very moment that you're listening to this, is the best time to become a patron. So just like hit pause, go on patreon.com, search for Dynasty Trades HQ. If you can't find it, feel free to DM me. I'll send you the link. I'm that type of dude.
Yes. And also check out our store too. Our store at dthq.storeenvy.com. You can get shirts, hats. I don't know if people saw me on the open bar. I was wearing the Dynasty Trades HQ 3/4 sleeve shirt this weekend. It was awesome. So yeah, go check out our store, check out our website, check out our Twitter and everything. And you know, we love you guys.
Yo, check me out on Instagram.
Yeah. Check him out on Instagram and
catch me outside.
Shane wants to go have a cigarette, so thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day.
Don't smoke.
Thanks, Jacob. Rick Rogue. We'll see you soon.
Yes, and don't let your kids smoke. It's a horrible habit.